hear that trumpet blast. Only 11 of you? What are the rest of you waiting for? Man, that's our hope. After this week, the sooner the better. Thank you, Lord.
I don't know if I told you this before. I want to praise somebody very special. You're all very special to me, not naturally. But this one is really special. And it happens to be Rick's wife, Faith.
All right.
And I want to say that she... I don't know if I've repeated this before, but the reason she's so special is because she brought my daughter, my granddaughter, to the Lord when she was about, 8 years old, something like that. That's when they have the time when the young ones go downstairs. And my granddaughter was there and received Jesus Christ. And I thank her for that. Today, to me, it's Ladies' Day. I want to thank all the ladies in the church. You're all special. You're special because you take the time to prepare the meals when we have a special dinner. It's just grand, and I thank you for it. That's all I want to say. Okay?
See, as a believer, you never know the importance of your witness. You never know the end result of a kind word you shared with somebody. You never know the difference that you made in someone's life. And sometimes, once in a while, somebody comes back to remind you. We carry a message that changes lives. They're not just our words, they're our Father's words. And for those of you, Faith included, that have ever worked with the children, you know how important it is. It's important because they're the next generation that God is raising up. And the children that come here are precious and few, but their lives have immeasurable value. Once you get here, you're not going to find in school, you're not going to find much in the workplace, you're not going to find it on the streets. You're going to find it in a Bible-believing, Bible-teaching church. And the value of God's Word is worth more than anything else that you could ever guard. Some of you get diplomas. Some of you get awards. Some of you go off to college and just go on with your life. But nothing will take you further than every step that you take with Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Because when everything else falls away, and you may come to that point in your life where you have nothing left, you'll find that when everything else is gone and you have Him, you'll find that He's all you'll ever need. So don't ever stop being witnesses. Don't ever stop sharing the importance of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Phil. I over the course of years, sometimes even I need to be put in remembrance of some of the wonderful things that we've witnessed the Lord do, not only here but in our lives as well. And that's where it's your turn. Any of you others have praise reports or testimonies? He restores what's been lost. Seeing no more hands, shall I make the presumption? Let's have our opening scripture this morning. And actually, it's a whole psalm. Psalm 133, all three verses. Very short, but yet very special. And it really pertains to us who gather here. I can't answer for the way it is anywhere else. I sit in no position of even being qualified to speak of what things are like someplace else. All I know is we have the here and we have the now, and I'm good with that. Psalm 133, and I ask that it be pulled up on the New King James, because one word particularly is changed. I'll read it out of the old first, and then you can read it there. Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious ointment on the head that raised even Aaron's beard that went down to the skirts of his garments. As the dew of Hermon, and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion, for there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore. The New King James changes a few words that make it more like today's language. But behold, whenever you see the word behold in a scripture, it's drawing attention to something that is very profoundly important. That means, like, if someone said, hey, pay attention. But it's written to draw us to what's next to follow. How good and how pleasant it is for brethren, that's brothers and sisters in the faith, your brothers and sisters in Christ, to dwell together in unity. Number one, that's a good thing. And number two, it's pleasant. I don't know if you've ever been to a town hall meeting. That's not good, and it's not pleasant most of the time. Or go to a school board meeting. Or maybe get called into the office on your job. That might not be so good, and it might not be so pleasant. But this dwelling together, to dwell means to live in, to abide, to remain attached to. And when you think of the body of Christ, don't think of your brother or your sister in Christ as an outsider. Maybe you don't see somebody for a long period of time. You don't have the opportunity to see them often. But remember this. Jesus prayed in the Gospel of John, chapter 17. He prayed for us, that as he and the Father were one, as he was in the Father in him, that we would be in him and with each other in that same manner, that he and the Father are one. And whether you realize it or not, more than likely, there would probably be less than three of us in this room that would agree as touching everything that there is in the kingdom of God. Doctrines, issues, different ways that people interpret things. But together, the unity comes in the unity of the Spirit. There's a oneness through the Holy Spirit that's made us all one by the Spirit. When we get into our later part of the service, I'm going to follow this up from chapter 1 in Ephesians, because it talks about endeavoring to keep that unity, because it takes work. It takes diligence. That used to be not one of Michelle's favorite words, but since she said it publicly today, diligence means persistence. It means stick with it. It's like tithing. You can't do it once and then say, well, that didn't work, so I'm not doing that again. Now, diligence means a lifestyle. It means the way we live. And the same oneness that we have, that's what's pleasant. That's what's good in the sight of the Lord. And it's like he said, the precious oil upon the head. Or there's an anointing there. Some of you know that there's been as few as 15 of us in this room sometimes. But when we're all together in the Spirit, there is such an awesome presence of the Lord's Spirit. It's like just like taking a bottle of anointing oil and pouring it on your head, and it just runs down and covers you in his presence and his anointing. What you're talking about, Rick, his presence is not something that can always be felt in a tangible, physical sense of feeling, but there's an awareness of his presence. There are ways that you just know that he's here. There are ways that you know that he cares, that he loves, and that he's provided. It's like in the morning when you go out, and this talks about dew. How many of you get up before sunrise? A few? Okay. Well, early in the morning, you got to be up before sunrise to see this so that you can be up when the sun is rising. And on your lawn, and the sun shines out on the grass, and it just sparkles and glitters like diamonds. Each little drop of dew on that grass and how it glistens and sparkles in the morning sun. That's what this is talking about, your life. It sparkles and glistens in the light of Jesus Christ. Every blade of grass gets covered. Every one of you in the body of Christ are covered with God's anointing, with his favor, with his Spirit, with his blessing, with his power, with his deliverance, with his healing, with his wholeness, with his joy, with his peace. Each one of you in the body of Christ are like that one blade of grass covered in that beautiful sparkling dew that you see every morning, if you get up early enough to see it. And if you don't, whether you saw it or not, it's still there. And you know what? That's the same with God. Whether you see him or not, he's still there. Can you see gravity? You sure know it's there if you jump off the roof. That's your challenge. Go find an atheist and tell them about gravity. And then tell them about the Lord. Maybe they'll make the connection. Just because you can't see something doesn't mean it isn't there. But this is what it means to how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Not only when we come together, but the unity in our homes. Our homes should be a place where when people come or we visit each other, there should be a sense of or an awareness of God's presence. His peace should be in our homes. His joy should be in our homes. So that when people come from all walks of life and they come knocking on your door, they ought not to find chaos going on in your house. We need to work to maintain that unity, that oneness of spirit, not arguing and contentions and screaming back and forth at one another with our kids or with each other. What kind of a witness is that to Christianity, you see? If our call is to bring the gospel of Jesus Christ and we tell everybody that Jesus will give you peace, but they never see it. Yeah, we got some work to do. We'll just leave it at that. But that's the beauty and the pleasantness and the goodness of what God is talking about, because he sees us differently than we see ourselves sometimes, actually most of the time. But if we can get to the point where we see us as he sees us, those are things that bring change. Because then, by our actions, not just our words, but our actions, we set ourselves in agreement with him so that people are aware of that anointing that's on your life, that call of God that's on your life, his favor, just like that beautiful sparkling dew every morning in the morning sun. Just remember yourselves, those little dewdrops for Jesus today. And this morning after Huggy Break, we're going to be graced with Aaron is going to come and lead us in praise and worship again this morning, and want you to be supportive, you know, because I say that because within this body, there are so many talents, so many giftings, so many things that you have to offer and share, and all you have to do is ask. That's all. It's just so that I know, so that I don't go on a fishing expedition and I'm looking for trout and I pull up a carp. Okay? Want to make sure that if I'm fishing for a gift, I got the right person. So, always in this church. And if I'm gone away to India and I need somebody to maybe do the message part, I'm not limited to just men for that purpose. We are not the kind of church where it's sealed in stone that only men can teach and only men can preach. I know that some of you, wonderful, like Phil said, he complimented all you ladies in the faith. I just know that some of you have some very, very good things that we need to hear. But I just need to know from you, what do you want to present and when would you like to do it? And I'll go sit with Joe. And I would just absolutely love that, because I long to see that happening here. Otherwise, we just waste all of our talent. We all sit in the room and certain ones do certain things, but there's a lot more here. We're sitting on a gold mine, and I want to see it come to bear fruit. All we have to offer is a simple token, our life. Try it for 24 hours. It's quite a challenge, isn't it? Would you please go with me to Colossians chapter 1? Verse 10. 2 weeks ago, I introduced this verse to you. We just went through some of the basics. Now I'd like to get down to the four key ingredients of this one verse of Scripture. Colossians chapter 1, verse 10. It's part of a prayer that Paul prayed for the believers, the Colossian believers. And it's hard just to pull out a portion of a prayer. But for today, we will be focusing our attention on verse 10. Four key parts of this verse of Scripture. Number one, that you might walk worthy of the Lord. Number two, unto all pleasing. Number three, being fruitful in every good work. And number four, increasing in the knowledge of God. So you see there are four key elements of this. This does not happen easily. It does not happen overnight. That's why it was a prayer. So as we spend the time to pull this apart a little bit, always remember that we're all growing. We're all learning to walk out our walk with the Lord, and there may be different places in your walk that you are than somebody else. But nevertheless, when Paul prayed this prayer, it was not only his desire, but the will of the Father through him, that these elements would be a part of our daily lives. So if it's presented in that fashion, you can see that we all fit, and there's a place for each one of us, and we all have hope. That's one thing you can be sure to realize, is that God's Word gives us hope. When he talks about that you might, I touched on it very lightly 2 weeks ago. Might is an option, that you might walk worthy. That means you have the opportunity to choose not to. But I can say that if that's your choice, then all that Jesus died to give you is going to fall far short in your life about receiving the quality of life that he died to give you. If you choose to not walk it and you just exist, certainly you're far better off than if you weren't saved. But there is so much more to the life of a believer than just coming to church and going through the motions and taking it very lightly. He said that you might walk worthy. When I think of worthiness, I think of worth, value. And for you men in the crowd, think of that brand new car you bought. You touch a my car, I smash a you face. Okay? What is your walk worth to you? Of what value is it? Just the same way we men would protect our car and go bust on somebody if they put a scratch in it. And we're so faithful, every week we'll run out with a little cloth and wipe off the dust as it's sitting in the driveway. We don't want anybody messing with it. We want everybody to see how nice it is. We want to see how pretty it is and how beautiful and shiny it is. We wax it and polish it and we guard over it, and sometimes almost to the point of we worship that car that we ride in. Because when it's brand new and you're looking at 5 to 7 years of paying for it, man, oh man, you're going to be real careful with that car. Because why? Because it represents worth. It represents value. Well, what about our walk in the Lord? How much value is that? How much worth do we put on that? Is it worth everything it takes to receive the benefit because of it? See, only each one of us individually can answer that question, because we all make our own list of priorities. We will always do the thing that's the most important, and nobody can ever weasel out of that. I feel confident 100% that that's a true statement. Every single one of us will do that which is the most important. The idea here that Paul prayed is that we would depend on the Lord to help us to develop a system of priorities in our lives, that you might walk worthy of the Lord. When you think about the price, when you think about the cost, don't think about it in terms of dollars and cents. Think about what it costs the Lord for your life, his life for yours. How much value do you look in your own life and see? Is your life worth it? See, the next time you want to have a pity party and just feel sorry, I would encourage you not to stay in that mindset for very long, because number one, God already established that your life was worth dying for. So that takes care of the worthiness issue. For those of you that think that, you won't be encouraged to think that way for long if you attend here regularly, because if today's the first time you've heard that and you felt in your life that it wasn't worth anything, that it didn't mean anything to anyone, so why bother? I can tell you why bother. Because your Father in heaven believes in you. He's the one that determined that you were worthy. He called you one of his pearls of great price. For the ladies, we picked on the men about a car. What do you do with that nice big rock on your finger? Unless you get a Walmart special. Come on now. What do you do with your jewelry? Your valuables. Don't tell anybody really where you put them, because, you know, I don't think there's any robbers in the house, but, you know, you put them in a place of safety. Why? because they have worth, because they have value. Maybe there was something that your grandma had or your great-grandmother, and they had great value to you personally because they were handed down to you to keep in the family so that you can pass them on to your children and your grandchildren. This walk that we call being a Christian, living for Christ, it's very costly sometimes. It might mean right when you just want to mouth off and get even with somebody, the Lord said, zip it. And you said, forget it. I know I shouldn't say this, but... oh, man. Sometimes the hardest thing to temper is our mouths. I'll speak for me. Y'all can do whatever you want with that, but it's learning. It's learning the simple things. It's learning and realizing the value of what you have in Christ. That is more precious than anything else. Sometimes we put our children in front of the Lord. Sometimes our husband or our wife or a brother or a sister. But the priority is out of focus if we do that. It doesn't mean that we think any less of our family. It's just that he needs to be first. And if he's first, then everything else fits. If I try to put my wife before the Lord, well, that's foolish. Why? Because we're so filled with our own faults that if we live our life based on somebody else's faults and shortcomings, including my own, then that's going to cause me to stumble in my walk with the Lord. I need to look to him first. He's the only perfect one. And if we all look to him first, then we realize why he's first. He's the only one that walked the walk perfectly before the Father. That's not to discourage us, that's to encourage us. We have a goal. We have something to work for that word diligence. It is possible. Otherwise, it wouldn't be here. If it wasn't possible, God never calls us to do the impossible. Why? Because his ability in you will give you the ability to do it. Matthew chapter 13, verses 45 and 46. Oh, I'm sorry, wait, don't go there yet. Ephesians chapter 4. I'm getting ahead of myself. I should forget what time it is, and at 3 o'clock we'll break for another huggy. Ephesians chapter 4. Verses 1, 2, and 3. Because unless we recognize the value of our walk, then we don't learn how to protect it. We don't learn how to guard it. Because we already know how to take care of the earthly things of value. But what about the spiritual things of value? Here's some helpful hints. If this doesn't click in our spirit, then maybe it would be good that we would take that before the Lord personally and see if maybe there might be something here that I can benefit from. Number one, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord. Oh, that's a wonderful reminder right there. You know what? You don't belong to you. Hello? You belong to him now. So that means your will needs to become his will. That means the breaking of our will, to realize that we're willing prisoners, if you will. Prisoners, we can come and go. It's not like we're locked in jail. But the prisoner means we're willing to go or do whatever the Lord puts in our hearts to go and do. Why? Because we belong to him. I remember being in the military and basic training was such an eye-opener. I found out what happened to people that didn't do what the drill instructor wanted them to do. God doesn't force you. There needs to be a willingness. That means a breaking of your will to do His will. Why? Because we're always used to doing whatever we want to do. So anyway, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you. That means I plead with you. Get this. This is important. That you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you were called. Very similar to the prayer that he prayed in the book of Colossians. Walk worthy of the vocation. You might have a job, a profession, a talent, a gift, an ability. The vocation that we were called is that our walk should demonstrate a Christ-likeness. And in the beginning, maybe the only thing that happens is we know we're saved. We don't even know from what, hardly, at the time we're saved. All I know is I felt like peanut butter inside, all soft, and I used to be so hard and stony. But suddenly, something happened. But to walk worthy of the vocation... Oh, and the next part of that is, we were called. That's different. That means that God initiated the call, we responded. But if He called us, does there not also come with that call an expectation? Do you think that if you called, your kids are outside playing, and you went to the door and you called them, what would your expectation be of them? Time for lunch. Nap time if they're really little. Time to get up for school. All kinds of things, but there's a call. And with it, there's an expectation. Here it comes. You ready? Verse 2. With all meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love. Oh, gosh, there's a lifetime right there. With all lowliness. That doesn't mean we're to go around feeling like a worm or a little bug that people can walk on and squash under our feet. And we're not to treat others like that either. Lowliness and meekness. Meekness is not weak. Men, when you first hear the word meekness, do you not think that if people see that you're meek, they're going to perceive that you're weak? Meekness is not weakness. There's great strength in meekness because meekness means my will is fully submitted to my Father's will. And if you think that's weak, try it. That's where true strength comes as a believer. When we realize that meekness means I lay aside my feelings, my flesh, my emotions sometimes. It doesn't mean we don't have those things. It just means they're not to lord over us and control us. Who is? The Holy Spirit on the inside of us. He's Lord. He's the new owner of our life. And we lead. He leads us and we follow. He speaks. And we respond. Not out of the way we always did before we got saved. Our flesh will do whatever it wants to do until it realizes that it's not boss anymore. And then, like I said, when your body wants to do something, your mind jumps on board, and before you know it, you got a major conspiracy on your hands. Because your mind and your body are in agreement and your spirit is screaming at the top of its lungs, no, no, don't do that. But the mind and the flesh, it's almost like they gang up on the real you inside the earth suit. The real you is the spirit. Lowliness and meekness with long suffering. Do you know what long suffering means? I think they put it in the wrong order to make it sound good. It means to suffer long. I didn't think Christians were supposed to suffer. I don't know what Bible you read. I didn't bring my funny one this morning, sorry. I brought the real deal. Long suffering means it may take a long period of time before you see some changes in your life that God wants to manifest. And you need to be willing to count the cost, see the worth of that. It cost Jesus' life, so there has to be something valuable about us that the Lord saw. So changes don't always come quickly. And they'd come quicker if we'd quit trying to change somebody else and let God change us. Hello?
Amen.
See, there you go. See? Lowliness, that means getting my mind off of me, myself, and I. They're the same three characters that always show up for some of your parties. I think you should get some new company. Invite some new guests over for lunch. Sometimes. Long-suffering means realize. Realize that we're in a relationship with the Lord. Look at your marriages. Some of you might say, don't remind me, I've suffered since I did it. Boo! It isn't necessarily true. Things are subject to change. But God wants to change us instead of us changing somebody else. And one of the quickest ways to see the other person change is to let God change us first. That really, really works. And the reason it works is because that's God's pattern. And everything works good when we do it His way. It always will, without fail. Forbearing one another in love. That means in every life, in every relationship, there's mountaintop experiences and there's valley experiences. But so often we want to stay on the mountaintop. But did you know when Moses went up on the mountain, he still had to come back to the valley with those commandments? And what did he find? The people didn't even trust him gone for 40 days. When he came back, he had to put a bag over his head. He was so shiny from the countenance of the Lord, they could hardly look upon him. But he still had to come back down to where real life is. You see, mountaintop experiences prepare you for the lower points in your life when maybe things aren't going so well. And if you don't gain anything on the mountaintop, it's just a quick high, that's nice, but you can't stay there. The reality is we're called to live our lives here. And we have to live among people. And if we could just get rid of all the people, then there wouldn't be any problems. That's not a good plan. That's not a good idea. You see, that's where forbearing with love comes in. There's always going to be somebody in your life that might be 80 grit sandpaper and you're looking for a 240 grit. For those of you that know what sandpaper is for. Forbearing means to walk with them. Walk with them in spite of the things that might appear to be displeasing. Besides, who died and appointed you judge anyway? Forbearing means literally to endure. If you wanted to put it simpler, put up with. But put up with is kind of cold. It means to endure. It means to walk it through. Just think they got to put up with you. See, it works both ways. And to forbear one another. Not only do we walk through it with people, but we help in carrying their cares and their burdens. Not all bowed over. Just bring it to the cross. Put them there with your own. See, when we carry someone's burden, we bring it to the cross, because that's what love does. Love will always bring it to the right place. And we're called to walk in the unconditional love of our Father. And when we forgive with no conditions attached to it, that's when we're the most like Him. And the very person that you are trying to change, or that I'm trying to change, when they know how much you care and how much you really love them, and that we're not going to judge or criticize or tear down, doesn't take long. And they begin to change. But it wasn't because of what we did. It's probably because of what we didn't. I think it would be true that most everybody just wants to know that they loved. And that's why Jesus came, to show us the love of the Father. It isn't easy. It surely isn't. But it gets easier. If this is new, you got to start somewhere. Start today. And I will close with this next one for today, Philippians 2, verses 1 through 5. This is talking about walking worthy. Walking our walk as though it was meaningful, that it had value and worth. Because you know what? We're always walking in relationship with somebody. And that somebody is going to respond or react to the way we are towards them. So it helps us to see, what does God expect of us? In the beginning, we don't know, but it doesn't take long to begin to find out. Philippians chapter 2, the first 5 verses. If there be any consolation or comfort in Christ, if any love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that you be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. That means be all on the same page. You might be reading a different paragraph, but at least be on the same page with each other. Not only in our homes, in our families, in relationships, but in this world. We're saved, but we still live among the unsaved. But how are they going to know that there's another way of living if we don't show them? And it has to start with us. Just like the opening song that we did by Rob and Mark this morning. We're the people that bring that life to those who don't have it. And where are they going to see it if they don't see it in us? Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory. Whatever we do for the Lord, we manifest His love. It's not to draw attention to ourselves, it's to draw attention to Him. And there may be times when you might be looking for a pat on the back and you get a kick in the butt. And you say, duh, that's not the way it's supposed to happen. Yeah, but it does. It does once in a while. Loving like this is risky, because there are people who may try to take advantage, to try to gain something over you. But I always am remembering how that never worked with Jesus. And it won't work with me either, because we have a choice of whether we let it or not. People's words have an impact on us. They can affect us if we let those words get down in our spirit and they start creating things. And we're not always going to be treated with respect, and sometimes even in our own homes. But nevertheless, let nothing be done through vainglory. This walk is not to gain a publicity contest. It's not to gain recognition. It's to point people to Christ. But in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than themselves. And that's the hard part today, because from the time kids are really little and growing up through school, I went to all of our kids' ball games in school, And even if they were the losing team, you know what? They all got a trophy. And I thought, well, what's the point of that? How come the winning team didn't get the trophy? Why does everybody get one? And then it followed into bowling. All the team got the trophies. So there wasn't any particular person singled out. Because the opportunity is there for us to, maybe not us that are adults now, but we don't have to feel like we have to measure up to somebody else's standards. And besides, if there's a standard to be measured up to, it ought to be the standard that the Lord set for us. And then we all fall short, you see, so that we all qualify. We all fit. We don't measure up. But that's okay. Why? Because the Spirit is still working. His Spirit is still wooing and drawing and speaking to our hearts. Just getting over the attitude of it's all about me and the sun's not going to rise and shine unless I get up first because it's going to shine on me first. Well, the sun was here long before we showed up, and it'll be here long after we're gone. The world doesn't revolve around us. We belong to Him. And so, as we continue with this in the following weeks, some parts of it are going to be kind of gritty. You're going to say, wish I'd have stayed home today. No, don't wish that. These kind of things really help, because I don't know if you ever looked at your walk like and maybe even wondered, well, I'm saved, but what does God expect of my life? What am I going to turn out like? It's going to send me to Africa? God forbid. Going to send me to Nicaragua or Haiti? No, maybe not. Don't worry about it. It's going to be better than anything you've ever known. Just go along with it. Give God the benefit of the doubt, as one of my friends in his congregation said to me once. Until I know any different, give God the benefit of the doubt. I came to the conclusion that that's probably a pretty good thing, because he probably knows at least 3 times more than I do. At least. So anyway, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, is to serve others. Then let us look for opportunities to serve and be a blessing to others, and get our minds off of ourselves and onto how can we be most effective in meeting the needs of others. And I'll end it with there today, because that's a biggie when we always think that we're the one that should have got the trophy and somebody else got it. We're all important to Christ equally, and He shares His inheritance with every one of us. So it has a happy ending. Rejoice. And I'd like to pray this morning for or with whoever wants prayer. And if you have to leave, please go quietly. But if you don't have to, please stay, because this is a very important part when the Lord is dealing with people and we're dealing with Him. And you know, it might be you up here having a need. It'd be really sad to you're up here praying and you hear people walking out on you in your time of need. It'd be nice to know that they're standing with their hearts in agreement with you. But if you have to leave, I don't have a problem with that. But staying and praying is much better, because it benefits the person we're praying for. So if that's you, come on down. Come on down and let Jesus take you up.
Just our devotion. Simple, very simple. Simple isn't always easy. It's just a few steps, maybe one or two steps. It's even less steps than the chords of this song, actually. Token. token of my love. For you, a precious king. It's just a simple token of my love. For you, a precious king. In all I bow before you, giving. Just a simple token of my love for you, a precious king. It's just a simple token of my love for you, a precious king. It's just a simple token of my love for you, a precious king. Token of my love for you, my precious king.